Prepare to have your health questions answered here on Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley, owner of Binkley Healing Center in downtown Ventura. Now, here's Dr. Todd.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley, board-certified doctor of non-force chiropractic and practitioner of functional medicine. Functional medicine means using standard diagnostic tests to identify conditions most doctors miss, or far too many doctors miss, in large part because they don't order those tests. To find something, you must first look for it, and most doctors are limited because they're employees of corporations and boards of directors, governing boards that limit their treatment decisions and their test ordering decisions. Most medical doctors are actually penalized for ordering tests to identify whether or not you're healthy. How is that possible? How does that even make any sense? Why would any doctor be prevented from ordering tests by any organization to determine whether or not their patients are healthy? Well, simply because the practice of medicine has nothing to do with identifying whether or not you're healthy or restoring health. It has to do with the diagnosis. It is the definition of medicine is the diagnosis and treatment of disease. Disease you already have, disease that's bad enough to justify the risks and costs of pharmaceuticals and surgery and expensive tests. So if you want to be proactive, unfortunately, you have to often pay for that proactivity yourself. Insurance, there's no such thing as health insurance. What goes under the guise of health insurance is medical insurance. It pays for medical care to treat a medical condition in a crisis, an acute condition, an infection, an accident, or an injury, or a diagnosis of a severe enough chronic condition that requires hospitalization, pharmaceutical, cancer, heart disease, surgery, etc. It's a sad fact, but it's true. So the purpose of this show is to help you take better care of yourself, to identify ways that you can improve your health, restore your health, maintain your health, avoid becoming dependent on pharmaceuticals and mainstream medicine for the rest of your life. The title of today's episode is Synergistic Toxins. I just heard this on a fantastic film that I just saw called Intoxicated as Mercury Rises, all about the unavoidable exposure to mercury that everyone is exposed to, from dental amalgams, from fish in the oceans, which comes from coal-fired power plants. It's a detailed examination of this problem and features many experts, among them a man I'm happy to call my colleague and friend for many years, Dr. Robin Bernhoft. If you go to PubMed, as I often recommend many people do, this is the location, the most accessible location of real peer-reviewed literature. If you go to PubMed and punch in mercury toxicity, the first article that comes up is Mercury Toxicity and Treatment, a review of the literature by Dr. Robin Bernhoft. Dr. Bernhoft is a former general surgeon with a subspecialty training in liver and pancreatic surgery who received his undergraduate degree from Harvard and his medical degree from Washington University at St. Louis and completed his residency at University of California, San Francisco, where he practiced many years as an ER physician. He and I became colleagues and friends at a functional medicine conference many years ago. And I've been privileged to utilize his expertise, especially regarding diagnosing and treating environmental toxicities like mercury and several others for over a decade now. The link to the film is intoxicatedmovie.com. I've been getting some pretty good reviews from my coverage of the toxins, wildfires, things that we're commonly exposed to. But I often wonder, am I making people miserable? We need a cause for hope. What are we going to do about all these toxins that we're constantly exposed to? So awareness is part of it, but I want to stress that there is always a way to identify yours. But what does this mean to you? The most important thing is to identify your body burden of toxins. They're bad. They're everywhere. It's important to know that. But when people hear that, I feel like sometimes they just shut it out, figure, What can I do? Well, what you can do is get tested to identify your body burden or a member of your family, especially those who are most sensitive to toxins, pregnant women, young children, the elderly, anyone with a chronic neurodegenerative condition like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, but also people with autoimmune conditions like multiple sclerosis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, or Hashimoto's thyroiditis, even low thyroid. These things are often the result of accumulation of toxins in your body. And if you have been diagnosed and treated with a condition like this, and no one else can figure out how to treat it, or you've been taking the medications for it, and no one can figure out why it's not working, then heavy metal toxicities are often the cause. And mood disorders, which is a huge category. So basically, your brain is the most sensitive organ to any toxic exposure and any nutrient deficiency. And toxic exposures and nutrient deficiencies go hand in hand. Does one cause the other? Well, toxic exposures doesn't cause nutrient deficiencies. I hope that's obvious. But nutrient deficiencies dramatically increases the effects of toxic exposure. So that's the most frustrating thing. There's so much misinformation, confusing information out there in the world about toxin exposure. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. That stuff's not bad at all. A thousand people, 100,000 people were exposed to this or that toxin and it had no effect on them. So we're told by government agencies, by various so-called health authorities, and the thing that everyone needs to know is that toxins are tested just like drugs. They're tested one at a time in isolation on a few people. Anytime you hear that this has been tested and proved as safe, you can, if you go to PubMed or wherever these people have to cite their references, look it up, and you'll find that they're tested on maybe a few hundred people and decided as safe because no one has died yet. And that's also a really not a very good indicator of safety. No one died. The fact that no one died does not mean that something after 3 months of taking a single substance is not necessarily a very good indicator of whether or not something is safe. And I know I'm being a little facetious right now, but it's not too far from the truth of how so many things are tested and reported as safe. They test one toxin at a time on how many people? Sometimes a few hundred, sometimes a few thousand, but not millions. When drugs are approved, they're tested on a few hundred people, sometimes a few thousand. And then when they go out into the market and millions of people take them, they're recalled for causing way too many deaths to be considered safe and acceptable. So it's always a crapshoot. You're a guinea pig. Especially if you try new drugs, so that's a little bit of a sidebar, a little bit of a discursion in the subject, but drugs are toxins. What's the difference between a drug and a nutrient? Drugs are necessary to save your life in a crisis. I'm not against drugs. Everyone needs drugs when they're in a crisis to save their life, but they have toxic effects, and that is why it's the double-edged sword. They have an immediate effect by taking control of your physiology, but because they take control of your physiology and override normal defense mechanisms and control mechanisms, they also have toxic effects that kill 100,000 people a year. The number varies year to year, but on average, year to year, in the United States alone, about 100,000 people die from properly prescribed medications. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley. You're listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions to Almost Any Health Challenge. The Smoldering Symphony of Los Angeles is the headline for a recent medical article about how this the devastating effects of the fires in Los Angeles. This wildfire is not like any other in California history in its scope, and people need to be reminded. I'm hoping to impress upon listeners that this includes a slew of toxic chemicals that are released into the air, including particulates, byproducts of plastic, fire retardant materials, asbestos, a host of thousands of chemicals that are found in commercial and residential properties. There's been a recent uptick in hospital admissions for inhalant injuries and inconsistent use of personal protective equipment in the community. It's something that people need to be aware of. So it's anyone who lives in Southern California has seen the fires come and go over the years. They're becoming more frequent, but the long-term effects of the mass release of these chemicals is resulting in increased concerns about cancer risks and immunological effects in the first responders, as well as those in direct proximity to the wildfires. As similar to the World Trade Center aftermath, but also all of us throughout Southern California. If you smell smoke, if you see smoke, some people are sensitive to this, more sensitive than others. I'm super sensitive to it. And it's a healthy response to notice something toxic that is, you know, bothering your lungs and then make you want to cough that stuff out, or hopefully inspire you to close your windows and put on a HEPA filter. Filter that stuff out. Your body reacts to these things for a reason. And even if you're not noticing a reaction, just pay attention to the news. Go to AirGov website, look up your air quality, and protect yourself from this stuff. So ash left behind the Los Angeles wildfires might be toxic is another headline from a recent medical report. Experts warn that blazes unleashed a complex chemical reactions on paint, furniture, materials, cars, electronics, and other belongings, turning ordinary objects into potentially toxic ash. Well, it's not potential. It's toxic ash that requires protective gear to handle safely. The ash includes harmful lead, asbestos, arsenic, and other newer synthetic material. Some of these chemicals are linked to cardiovascular disease and reduced lung function. And the toxic effects of inhaling arsenic, chromium, and benzene. Exposure to magnetite, which can form when fire burns iron, has been linked to Alzheimer's disease. So many researchers reported on the long-term effects of linked to dust from September 11th, for example. This Jackson Webster, PhD, who studies fire aftermath, professor of civil engineering at California State University at Chico, quote, "I always reminded myself of all the people that ran to the World Trade Center on 9/11 and were really there for not that long a period of time, but the effect on their total exposure, increasing cases of all kinds of different diseases, illness, and sickness. More studies are necessary, but the early reports are not encouraging." And many scientists wonder where all this waste will go. Potentially hazardous waste materials end up in drinking water and even flow into the ocean. Contaminated drinking water is a growing concern for cities facing wildfires, is another headline of a recent medical study. Pasadena Water and Power recently issued a do not drink notice to about a third of its customers for the first time since it began distributing water more than a century ago, with at least one burned pump, several damaged storage tanks, and burned homes. They knew it was a chance that toxic chemicals had entered the pipes. This week, they lifted the notice after most of the area had undergone testing showing that the water was safe. But why does this happen? How do urban fires cause a risk to drinking water? Well, when large fires burn in towns and cities rather than in forests and grasslands, the infrastructure can be heavily damaged because drinking water systems can have, there's ash, smoke, soot, and other debris, gases that get sucked into the piping network. So says Andrew Welton, Dr. Andrew Welton, PhD, Purdue University engineering professor who researches water contamination in communities hit by fire. These toxic elements can be particularly bad because chemically engineered plastics, synthetics, and building materials in households are heating, burning, and releasing particles and gases. And some of these chemicals are harmful even at very low concentrations. But how do these things get into the pipes that deliver our water? Well, water systems are typically are pressure. They're always under pressure. You turn on your faucet, the water is under pressure. You notice if it's not. And so that pressure itself is usually enough to keep harmful elements out. But that critical pressure can easily be lost in many ways during a fire, just from people turning on their own garden hose to try and fight the fire. Obviously, the firefighters use a lot of water, but pipes in burned buildings can also be damaged, spewing water. Power losses can cause pressure loss when pumps stop working. And it's really hard, if not impossible, to keep up the power supply to the whole water system in the event of a fire, because you're either shutting off the power because power can contribute to the fire, or it just goes out, says Greg Pierce, professor of urban environmental policy at the University of California. This happened in the Maui fires in 2023. So what's the health risk? Well, toxic chemicals in drinking water after a fire pose risks ranging from temporary nausea to cancer. Dr. Lynn Goldman, MD, MPH, Dean of the Milken Institute of Public Health at George Washington University, referring to the campfire that burned most of Paradise, California, said there were benzene levels high enough to acutely give a child a blood disorder. Well, that's a quiet reference to what would most likely be leukemia or lymphoma, common cancers that children are vulnerable to. So in terms of cancer risk, what we're really interested in is the cumulative effect that you're exposed to over an entire lifetime, says Dr. Goldman, and the safe level, even very low levels of chemicals like benzene can cause a concern, a known carcinogen, safe level in drinking water of less than one part per billion. So much higher levels of that can occur after a fire. Damage to the water systems like this. Individuals employed in industries that can make or use benzene can be exposed to the highest levels, as many as 238,000 people may be occupationally exposed to benzene in the U.S., especially individuals employed in the petroleum refining, chemical manufacturing, rubber tire manufacturing, workers in the steel industry, printers, rubber workers, shoe manufacturers, laboratory technicians, firefighters, and gas station employees. So benzene and similar compounds are known as volatile organic compounds because they tend to become airborne, like gasoline that turns to vapor when it drips from the pump onto the ground when you're gassing up your car. A group of heavier compounds called semi-volatile organic compounds were found in water pipes in Louisville, Colorado, after the 2021 Marshall Fire, even when benzene and better-known chemicals weren't. So it's important to test for these things. There are ways, commercially available ways, to test your drinking water directly, but more importantly, there are ways to test your body and those who you love of your body burden of these toxic chemicals, which we're all exposed to. Whenever I run urine tests for chemical toxicities or hair tests or urine tests for heavy metal toxicities, we're all exposed to these things. And it's just a matter of knowing your body burden by testing, by your exposure from your job, your lifestyle, things that you've been exposed to that you know about or may not know about. It's important to take an assessment. Sometimes even just from your case history. Your case history may indicate a huge risk of exposure to these things. Mood disorders, inability to lose weight for no apparent reason, anxiety and depression, chronic neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, autoimmune conditions. These are all things that are not solely caused by any stretch by environmental toxins like I've been talking about. But if you have those things and you've tried, quote unquote, tried everything else and not found anything that's working for you, then looking at toxic exposure is always an important step to identifying what could help you live long and live well by identifying things that you can correct with better food, exercise, and supplements. But even if you're not prepared to do testing right now, one thing that anyone can do right now, all of you can do, is get a good water filter to filter out those things that end up in public water systems after a fire, and filter out the things that are in public water systems right now, even when there aren't fires. Tap water is really not fit for drinking. It's important to drink water. I'm always encouraging people to drink more water, but it's really important to drink clean water for your short-term health. People come in with kidney dysfunction, for example. So many times I see patients who come in and their blood tests show kidney dysfunction. And they say, oh, yeah, my doctor told me my kidneys aren't working properly, but there's nothing they can do about it. Well, a lot of times the solution is just to drink more water. People need to drink more water. But it's also really helpful if you drink clean water that has been properly filtered. And the best form of filter that you can get to make clean water that is alkaline, not acidic, alkaline water is a solid carbon block, multi-pure water filter. This is the one that I recommend. That's what I use at my home and my office. Most people are familiar with reverse osmosis systems that are three or four chambers underneath their sink. That's fine. That's better than nothing. Reverse osmosis systems will filter out most of the toxins that are in the water, but they also slowly clog up and eventually spill toxins into the water that are filtered out by that third chamber. That's why it's three chambers instead of one, a solid carbon block, multi-pure filter. It has nano-sized particles that filter out all of the bad stuff and leave some of the minerals in so that the water remains alkaline, which is what we all want. And email me if you'd like. I can send you a link to get a discount on those filters, multi-pure water filters. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley. You're listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions to Almost Any Health Challenge. We're talking again, unfortunately, about all these toxins that we're all constantly exposed to. But there is some hope. Another way, in addition to getting a good water filter, to reduce your risk of exposure to these toxins and the accumulation of them in your body is by eating clean vegetables and cleaning the fruits and vegetables that you eat. So learn about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. In America, we hear about these published, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, published by the environmentalworkinggroup.org. It used to be really easy to go on to EWG, environmentalworkinggroup.org, and get this list. Now, the last time, I just checked yesterday, and it's a little more difficult now. They're really aggressive about making sure they get your email and wanting to send you newsletters and maybe have you do a questionnaire. I don't know. I got a little frustrated with that. But if you just Google the Dirty Dozen, you'll get and do an image search. You'll see printed image versions of those lists. They vary slightly from year to year. Top of the list is always strawberries, kale, spinach, peaches, things with thin skins, and some surprising things. Fruits and vegetables. I'll list them again later. We're going to run out of time before I get through all of this. I just wanted to let you know that that exists and to check it out. And more importantly, I'm going to come back to this as well. I found the EWG.org list is great, but PAN-UK, the Pesticide Action Network in the UK, seems even more compelling to me because they list vegetables that have multiple toxicities. So we're bringing this back to the title that I began with, synergistic toxins. So I always like to explain to people how synergistic nutrients are important because unlike drugs, nutrients work in combinations with one another. But also, paradoxically, unlike drugs, or sort of confusingly, unlike drugs, toxins also have synergistic effects. Synergistic is usually a good thing, but drugs. So people that are, all these drugs, the toxic effects of mercury and lead and arsenic and cadmium and pesticides, all the studies and the government research and the recommendations for what is considered safe are based on studies that only look at one drug at a time. And they ignore the fact that when you are exposed to more than one of these drugs at the same time, the toxic effect on your body increases exponentially. So talking about more about that next week. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley. You're listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions. Have a fabulous weekend.
You've been listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley. If you have a health question you want discussed on the show, email your health questions to Dr. Binkley at BinkleyHealingCenter.com. Take advantage of this opportunity to ask questions for yourself and for your loved ones, because our health matters. Join him next Friday at 2 p.m. for Safe, Effective Natural Solutions here on 98.3 FM, The Word.